Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Seems like everybody is jumping on the ChatGPT using AI for everything in their lives train.
I mean, I feel like it's gotten a lot better in the last few months. And if you know the right way to ask the right questions, the right prompts, you can use it for a lot of material.
Right. Except there are six things that you should never tell ChatGPT.
Okay, this is helpful. What's that?
Okay, number one, your passwords. I mean, do we really need to lay this out for people?
Duh.
Don't tell it to remember your password because it might end up on the dark web. Obviously, but I guess some people just think that it has a HIPAA violation. It can't share any of your information.
Not a real thing, but I bet you a lot of people do believe that. Yeah.
Goes hand in hand with don't tell ChatGPT anything that can use to steal your identity, like passport info or your social security number. Even your full name and address might be risky.
Mother's maiden name, anything like that. Yeah.
Ironically, I was complaining in a meeting yesterday how I don't want my age on the internet.
Yes.
I found that there is a lot of radio female hosts that have somehow alluded to putting their age on the internet.
They made the internet forget how old they are.
Well, right. And I think it's fascinating because I can't figure out how to do it. And not that I'm ashamed of how old I am or anything like that.
I mean, but a little bit.
Well, I'm just...
No, but you will be.
One day, I will be like, I don't want people to be Googling how old I am.
I mean, I think that it's a normal thing, though. A lot of people would like to edit some things of their life and make sure that it's not public information.
Right. So anything that they can use to steal my identity, don't tell them your birthday.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everybody's going to be Googling it and they're going to know.
It's over.
Right. They're going to know that you're 31. You got real quiet there.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else should I not tell it?
You should not tell it any financial information. That seems like a no-brainer right there. That's... Don't tell it your bank account number or crypto keys.
It's right up there with your passwords. You would never hand anybody else your routing information.
Also, never tell it any illegal activity, even if you're just joking. Now, that's interesting because Raven and I do a lot of joke things.
Yes.
But it tracks your chats. And the way the privacy policy is set up, they can use your data to detect or prevent illegal activity. So even if you're joking and you say something,
sure,
don't be surprised when the police show up on your doorstep.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you don't think of it, but AI also doesn't have a sense of humor,
right?
So it doesn't understand that. It's one of those human emotions that you can't quite teach at this point, or you can't teach well. So if it makes the error, all of a sudden you're locked up. That's not good.
Top six things you shouldn't tell ChatGPT. Speaking of it not having a sense of humor, you know who also doesn't have a sense of humor?
Who's that?
Well, I don't think they do. Hackers. So don't tell it any embarrassing secrets, although I'm not sure what those embarrassing secrets would be, because hackers can use it to blackmail you for money.
I feel like AI is already in my hard drive. I'm already inviting it into my digital domain. So it's seen the photos and stuff. This might be too late.
It's seen your medical records, which is alarming.
You know.
And any corporate info. So if you use ChatGPT for work, like a lot of people do, be careful you don't disclose any sensitive information your company wouldn't want out in the world.
Right. That proprietary information that's going to bring down your company and let somebody else steal everything you do.
Yeah, it's good advice.
Chef Plum's done all the hard work in the kitchen, so Anna and Raven don't have to.
Are you ready to elevate your dinner? All you need is one ingredient. Chef Plum, six-time Emmy-nominated chef. You can find him online at chefplum.com. Listen to his podcast wherever you get podcasts. Plum Love Foods. Plum, if you're like me and your dinners are very simple, it is grilled chicken, grilled steak, like basic things.
Day after day after day.
You want to do something a little bit different, but you don't really have a whole lot of time. And sometimes it's one simple ingredient that could change an entire meal.
It's an easy change. I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, if you just do one simple thing to your grilled chicken dinner, you can take it to the next level and seem like you're like the most expert home cook around.
So give
us an
example.
How do we do that, man?
Yeah.
Gravy?
Your grilled chicken dinner you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if you just did that same grilled chicken, the boring old grilled chicken? Do you do it with rice, or what do you do it with?
Well, there's a trio of things that we alternate in our house.
Right.
It is either roasted potatoes, mashed potatoes, or rice.
Okay.
Those are our three that
starches.
At one point during the week, you'll be having one of those.
What if you just put a little pesto on there? And you could even get like store-bought pesto and put it on top of your chicken, and now you've changed the entire dish, whether it's with rice or with roasted potatoes. It works fantastic. Really, really simple.
I feel like I always have pesto in my fridge, and I never know what to do with it except mix it with like my pasta, like on a quick night. Or
yeah.
That's actually a good idea. Put it on top of the chicken.
It's just sitting there waiting for something
very,
to
very
do.
Very simple.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
answer
very
the call, simple. Pesto. We're ready to go.
All right, pesto that's on right. top of chicken. We just elevated Joe Meal. What's next?
Elevated Joe Meal. I don't know how I feel about this name of this. So let's just say you're doing something like a grilled steak, right? You're doing steak for dinner, like a skirt steak, a flank steak, a grilled New York strip, something simple that you may do on a weeknight, right?
Mm.
You ever make steak, Anna?
Yeah, once
a
week.
I think I know where he's going with this, okay?
What if you just very simply just added some grilled onions to it? You'd be amazed how much adding grilled onions to a red meat changes the entire complexity of the meat. I know it sounds crazy, I know it sounds silly, but trust me, it makes a big difference. If you just grill some onions in that same grill you're cooking the steak on and add them to the steak, complete change of the game. I'm telling you, it's awesome. Oh, and by the way, finish it with black pepper. Don't cook with black pepper. That also will take you up another level.
Yeah, the black pepper burns when we're cooking. We know that. But sprinkle a little gorgonzola on there as an alternative as well. Not bad.
No, you're absolutely right. A little blue cheese on top of that. Mm. Don't overdo it. Just a little bit. Absolutely right. And you know what? It makes you so happy, Ray. All the years we've been doing this together, and I try to give some cooking tips, and then when you can repeat things back to me, it makes me feel like I have purpose in life. Like it's worked. Some things I've been doing have worked.
That was one thing. Don't expect it to happen again.
It's funny how you bring up the onions on the steak, because growing up, you know, my grandparents and my parents come from like a poor mountain town in Italy. So when they came here, one of the things that I would eat when I was growing up is minute steaks. You know, steak is expensive.
Uh-huh.
It's
oh, yeah.
super expensive.
Yeah. Steak 'em.
But they would get the thin, cheapest steak. And I remember that my nonna would make it with me with the onions and the tomatoes. And it was the most delicious thing. And whenever I've tried to make it myself, it never comes out as good as her. But I think she had the grandmother magic.
Grandmother magic is incredible. I'll tell you what, but you're doing those simple little things like that, adding something easy that you're already cooking anyway. You're going to cook on a grill. Just throw some onions on the top of it. And tomatoes are great, too. I don't like to do them not in season. But, yeah, tomatoes are a great thing to add, too. Changes the entire dish altogether. So, yeah, 100% a great thing to do. Let's just say you're making a simple pasta dish. Like, there's nights we've all had pasta at our house. It's an easy dinner. You want to just grab a jar of sauce even. I know it's blasphemy to say to some people, but some people do it. And that's okay. Get a good jar of sauce. But you want to change that? Very, very simple. Add a little olive oil on top of it. Good olive oil. But before you serve it, it makes a big, big difference. I mean, come on. You know, the flavors of olive oil can be all over the board. It's great.
Elevate your dinner. We did it.
Yep. Chef Plum. Find him online at chefplum.com. Follow him on Instagram at chef_plum. Thank you, Plum.
Elevate your dinner.
All the golf lovers have their eyes on the Masters this week. And after the first day, there's a surprising leader, Justin Rose, with 7 under par.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means absolutely nothing to you, so much more wackiness happening there besides golf.
You're in the same boat then as Anna, because you don't follow golf, right?
No.
Right. So
I mean, I
Scheffler's
play
like
golf.
Four back.
Yeah, all right.
So he's a big deal.
Okay, cool.
And Rory McIlroy kind of imploded, but
all right,
everybody loves the Masters. Okay, so what happened?
So besides the actual playing of the game, amateur golfer Jose Luis Ballester, he went to the bathroom in the lake during the first round.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
They caught him.
I'm pretty sure you can't do that. I get it. When you got to go, you got to go.
But here's the funny part. His accent is a little bit thick, so it's hard to understand at the beginning.
Mm.
There's bathrooms right next to the tee box. Right next to the tee box.
Did he not know that?
He had no idea. Here he is.
I completely forgot that we had those restrooms on the left of the tee box. Okay, I'm just going to sneak here in the river. Probably the people would not see me that much, and then they clap for me. I mean, it was not embarrassing at all for me, so if I had to do it again, I would do it again.
He's like, I pee everywhere. It's no big deal.
He's like, I'm very confident in my masculinity. Everything's all right.
Right.
What about the fish, bro? You know? What about that? You know, we're going to pee in this creek right now? All right.
I know New York City has an act right now that they're trying to get more bathrooms put up, like the portable potties.
That's a good idea.
Because they're saying that there's so many people. And if you've ever had to go in a crowded city and try to find a bathroom, most places will not let you use their restroom unless you're a patron.
You got to buy something.
Yes. And what are you going to do when you got 60 billion people living in one place with nowhere to go to the bathroom? They go in places they shouldn't go.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, he has no excuse. There was literally a bathroom next to the tee box he just decided to use. And he called the lake a river. So, but you know what?
Whatever.
It's fine.
All right. Well.
Also, the interesting thing about the Masters that I never understood was My husband's a golf guy. He likes golf.
Everybody that loves golf,
they all want to go.
It's like a pilgrimage.
They all want to go to the Masters.
Holy experience for them.
So one time when it was his birthday or something, I'm like, oh, well, like, let me look into what it cost. First, it's so much money.
Oh yeah, to go.
Not even to like just go, but to find a place to stay.
Yeah,
it's ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
But the one thing that's super cheap at the Masters, and I don't understand it, is the food. You can buy things that are dirt cheap. Their sandwiches cost $1.50.
I mean, when's the last time you saw a $1.50 sandwich?
No. Breakfast is between $2 and $3. That's it.
Yeah.
You could get a whole bowl of fruit for $2.50. And if you order one thing from the, like, everything from the menu,
yeah,
like you could say, give me one of everything.
Yeah, give me all of it.
Includes wine and beer, $77.
Wow.
How do you do that?
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, that's because the fairways are paved basically with green currency. So it's totally fine.
Yeah.
They can save there.
Also trending, coffee naps. It's a new viral trend, but I swear I made this up before science figured it out.
Mm.
Here's the lady from the internet explaining.
Scientists agree if you need to wake yourself up, coffee naps are more effective than coffee or naps alone. First, prepare some coffee, ideally something small or cold so it's easy to drink fast. Next, set an alarm for 20 minutes and just lie down and relax. It's okay if you don't fully fall asleep. In fact, it's better if you don't enter the deeper stages of sleep, as that'll make you more tired. After 20 minutes, you'll feel refreshed and ready to take on the day.
I can tell you this works. I've done this a million times. I thought I made it up and it was only for my weird body.
Wait, you take a nap after you drink the coffee?
So if I go home and I'm exhausted after like a long day at work, but I have a long night ahead, I'll drink a cup of coffee, pass out on the couch for 20 minutes, wake up, and I'm good to go.
You feel like that's better than just passing out and waking up and then having the coffee?
Yes, 100%. I don't know why it works,
mm-hmm,
but it works. Okay. I do it all the time.
Well, if it works for you, keep doing that magic.
I will. The story gets even more strange now that he's released a statement. All right, remember the band Weezer? They sang this song.
Amongst many others, sure.
Yeah, they redid the Toto song Africa. That was huge for a while.
They're
right?
Kind of a weird alternative band, but they have a bunch of hits.
They sure do. And then all of a sudden on the news, this started trending.
A bizarre incident in L.A. The wife of a member of the band Weezer was shot by police and arrested during a hunt for a suspect in a hit and run on a freeway.
I tried to understand this story 700 times because it's like two different stories that have nothing to do with one another.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing. My first piece of advice is this. Is if there ever a helicopter going over your house and police are in your yard, if you have a gun, you shouldn't be outside
with it. You should stay inside.
Yeah, you should just stay inside with that gun and mind your own business.
So here's what happened.
It all started with an unrelated hit-and-run crash. Three suspects fleeing the scene into a nearby neighborhood.
I saw a gentleman walking on the shoulder, and he started to run when we confronted him.
One of the suspects, wearing only his boxers, trying to blend in, appearing to casually water plants, not fooling police, who quickly apprehended him.
Okay.
I guess this guy stripped down to his boxers and jumped in the pool to make it look like it was his house, and he was there, and then he was watering the plants. I mean, honestly.
Not a bad plan.
Pretty slick.
I said I thought, too.
Yeah.
I go,
it's like Mission Impossible stuff.
Ridiculous.
Really.
But. I mean, I understand the thought process. So the freeway is close to a suburban area where all these houses are. There's a hit and run with these three guys.
They run off.
They run off into the woods. They run off into the neighborhood. One guy strips down to his moutons, jumps in a pool, pretends like he's gardening. It's his house. Cops are like, nope, we know that's you. Arrest these three guys.
It was a brilliant move, though. Not a bad move.
Not bad.
Honestly, I mean, take the helicopters out of the equation and you're in pretty good shape here.
This is where it gets weird.
Yeah.
That's when 51-year-old Jillian Schreiner, the wife of Weezer's Grammy Award-winning bassist Scott Schreiner, emerged from her home next door, brandishing a gun.
Why?
Police say the officers repeatedly told Schreiner to drop the gun, but she refused. Then, according to police, she pointed it at officers, at which point they fired, striking her in the shoulder.
Okay, now she's out there with the babysitter, too.
She's lucky to be alive.
No, I know.
Like, you know
it's
what
really
I mean?
Sad.
In all honesty, mm-hmm, like, I mean, like, she's lucky to be alive. They, you know, caught her in the shoulder. Okay, that could have been anything.
Mm-hmm.
Schreiner surrendering alongside a babysitter, hands in the air. She was taken into custody and transported to the hospital to be treated for non-life-threatening injuries.
Now, you have to imagine at this point something happened. She was going through whatever mental health things that she was going through at that point. But this is where it gets really strange. Because earlier today, people have been waiting for her husband, bassist Scott Schreiner, to say
something. The Weezer is supposed to play Coachella coming up this weekend.
So, out of all the things that he posts, he just posts, see you at Coachella.
I mean, I can't believe that.
That's all. That's it. See you at Coachella. That's your statement after everything that's happened?
I mean, just imagine a situation where this happened with your spouse one way or the other. Whether it was a mental breakdown, a misunderstanding, or they had just kind of, you know, decided that they're crazy, right? And they want to, you know, whatever. This is our property. I'm going to do what I want here. In any one of those circumstances, can you imagine going to work that weekend when your wife's been charged with attempted murder?
There's got to be more to this story
that we don't know. No matter what's to this story, how is it he goes to work?
On the flip side, it's Coachella. He's busy. He's got things to do. He's got to go to work. I don't know.
I mean, strip to your boxers, bro, and water them plants before you go, I guess.
The moral of the story is if you're ever being chased by cops, even though it sounds like a good idea to go down to your Mutans, probably not.
Oh, man.
You ever hear something as a parent and you just think to yourself, oh, my gosh, that's right. I've been doing this wrong this whole time. I'm a terrible mom.
Yeah, sometimes you hear an idea and you're like, I should have seen this. This was right in front of my eyes.
So, I love Jenna Bush Hagar. I just think that she is the nicest, bubbliest person. You know who she is. She's the daughter of former President George W. Bush, and she hosts the Today Show, mm-hmm. Jenna and Friends.
Kind of grew up in front of America a little bit there after Chelsea Clinton. They were like the next teenagers that came along. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I always thought to myself, if I ever met her, we would be friends. We're like the same age, the whole thing. She's just one of those people that I'm like, that's my girl.
Now, I should just state that she's like fourth person on this list that I've heard already. So Melissa Joan Hart for a long time, which, by the way, now we're enemies.
Yeah.
I can't even believe that. I didn't want to give her the airtime, but I said it. But then Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
Yeah, but they're in my mind, they're above me, so I would never be able to be their friends. Me and Jenna could be friends.
Okay.
Okay. But all right. But we were at the same charity event, and she was presenting, and I was with the media in the last row at the last table, and was a nobody at this event. And, but she's like, cool. Like I told you, she would be my friend.
Sure.
So she was at the bar.
she would be my friend. Right. Assumption.
So she's hanging at the bar and she's like with her group and I'm right behind her. I'm literally standing behind her and I'm like, I should just tap her on.
So, I mean, this is like after the parts where like people are presenting things or getting things or whatever. It's at the bar. So,
right.
I mean, this is casual time. Yeah.
I said
nothing. Networking time.
It doesn't matter because I said nothing because I'm a dork and I chickened out.
You froze.
Right. And I didn't want to bother her. Whatever. But anyway, I watch the Today Show. I always watch the clips. Yeah. I like to catch up on what she's doing.
Did you watch the next day to see if she mentioned you?
I'm sure she did not. Anyway, she said this.
Molly Shannon, the actress, mm-hmm. came on our show and she said something to me that I thought was so brilliant about raising teens. She has two teen children. And I was like, oh, how is it, you know, with the cliche that having teens equals difficult, you know?
Yeah.
And she was like, it's excellent. It's amazing. And we've created this whole narrative in our culture that teens are difficult.
Yeah, we really have. And I was thinking about it after I was listening to this, and there's more, and it's coming in a second. And you know, as a mom of a teenager myself, my older daughter is 16 now. I think about this all the time. It's always like, they're a pain. They spend too much money. They don't have respect. They don't know how to do the basic. And it's ridiculous that we do that.
Well, I mean, you've got a good teen, you know?
That's true.
I mean, some teens are very, very rebellious.
They push back
on virtually everything, right? And and some of them, they're just upset. I mean, they're going through a lot.
But
right? It's hard to be a teenager.
You're putting the narrative on. So she continues and she says,
she's like, of course there's moments, but there's moments with your five-year-olds too.
So much
and
harder.
And you're not like in a whole narrative about like, how hard is it to have a first grader? If what we put on our children is like, being a teen is really, y'all are difficult. If that's what the narrative is, of course that's going to be it.
Best friend Jenna, preach!
Yeah, teenagers are meaner than five-year-olds, typically. It's been my experience.
Have you met my six-year-old? I know you have.
I mean,
you've met Dakota.
Wait till she's 16.
That's going to be a different story.
And then tell me if it's not a sliding scale, but I mean, possibly good advice for some out there.
It's true. It's maybe if we just say, you guys are great. I mean, my daughter is great. She is my best friend. And I don't know why there's this narrative around it where teenagers are tough. So I thought, you know what? Let's give them their moment to shine.
I mean, there was a moment that I thought that my teenager could be incarcerated. Now he's a great success.
See?
So, I mean, right, anything can happen.
What's the best part of having a teenager? Go ahead. What's the best part? Brag about your kids. What do they do that's awesome? There's this interview that Molly Shannon did with Jenna Bush Hagar on the Today Show, and she said that we give teens a bad rap. There's a bad narrative that teens are difficult, and it's not true because most teenagers are great and they contribute so much to the family and the home.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's arguable going house by house, but I mean, great. If we're doing a PR campaign for teenagers, I'm here for it.
So what makes your teen so great? Why is it good to have a teenager around? Kim?
My teenage daughter is the absolute best. She's got her EMT license. She's a volunteer fire cadet. She does all kinds of community service. She's thriving in school. She's just absolutely amazing. She's such a great kid.
That's great. That's good stuff. Yeah, see? Definitely. What's the best part for you, though? Does she vacuum? Does she dust?
Does she cook?
Yeah.
She's a really good baker.
Yes.
She can
Why
sew.
Do they all bake so much? I said we're all going to gain 20 pounds. Every time
know.
She's bored, she's like, let me make cookies. Why?
TikTok. Thank
yep.
you.
She's a cupcake. She loves cupcakes. She
yeah.
makes cupcakes like
the- Hey, Megan, tell us something great about having a teenager.
I have a good teenager. Actually, after listening to you guys, I texted my son because I just dropped him off at the bus stop to tell him how much I love him. Yeah. He's a good kid. I get compliments all the time. Does he drive me crazy sometimes? Yeah, but at the end of the day, he's a good kid. He's got good interests. He plays music. He's got good friends. I'm enjoying the teen years.
Me too.
Do you think it's all the work that you put in, or do you think you're like blessed and you won the lottery?
I think a combination of both. I've got two. I've got one coming up. He's 12, mm-hmm. and he's definitely going through stuff.
Yeah,
and he's a little bit more spicy. But we have talks, and we talk about our feelings and, you know, how it's okay. And, listen, we're not going to always, you know, we just talk. But, mm-hmm. yes, I think my oldest child's an old soul.
Yeah.
And,
so they're
you know,
a little calmer,
you
keep and the younger one is
spicy.
Right.
Yeah. And then I have moments where I just say, I was a teenager once, uh-huh. you know.
Yeah, you have to remind yourself of the crazy things you did. Because
absolutely.
Most of us, you know, we outscaled the ones that are going today
yeah.
if we really
yeah,
are honest
absolutely.
With ourselves.
Nicole, why is your teen the best?
So it's actually my niece. I did help to raise her. She's 15 going on 16 this summer. And she just doesn't complain when we ask her to do stuff. She helps out her little brother, making sure he has his breakfast before he gets on the bus in the morning. She'll come home and help make dinner if her mom has to work late. She's very chill. You know, she likes to just go to Starbucks and read and have a coffee. And she's just easy to talk to, and she doesn't talk back usually.
It's
you know,
nice.
A certain amount of awareness, you know, you mentioned lack of complaints, right? And teenagers, they have a lot to complain about because they're confused. And, you know, life is pulling them in a million different directions. And it's okay. We tell ourselves as adults it's okay to complain.
Mm-hmm.
But it just gets hard when it's all day, every day, right? So an awareness of oneself and what's going on around them is, you know, that's huge.
Yeah, Nicole,
right?
And also the
yeah.
helping the siblings get ready in the morning
oh, yeah.
is such a big deal. I mean, Hayden, my older daughter, gets my little one dressed, brushes her hair, makes sure she brushes her teeth, eats her breakfast every single day. She does that.
Yeah, that's yeah. the ball game.
Has your children's coach ever have to have a word with you about something? There's something wrong with me. I don't know why am I the way I am. I fully understand that this is not a normal thing that people do.
Well, you can't help yourself.
I
all right?
can't.
You just can't help yourself in certain situations, especially things that you're passionate about, which is pretty much everything in life.
That's not true. I was not passionate about field hockey at all. Now, I've never played field hockey in my life. I don't know how to play field hockey.
You have no experience in this.
I sat on the sidelines and I said nothing. I played. I cheered. I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
I was a normal parent.
Yeah, you don't even know, like, what if they're headed the right direction
no
or whatever.
Clue. No clue.
No,
I don't even
okay.
know how it works.
Yeah.
And that's the sports that I should stick with when it comes to my kids.
Yeah.
Because I played soccer. I coached my older daughter playing soccer. I love soccer.
You were asked to keep your mouth shut at that, too.
At one point.
And asked not to return as the coach at one
no,
point.
No, that's not true. They asked me to come coach the travel team at one point.
Oh, I thought your daughter asked you.
No,
my
okay. daughter told me to please stop coaching. But no,
yeah.
but not the people in charge.
Okay.
They liked the passion.
Yeah.
So now my little one is back at playing soccer. Now, she hasn't played since she was four. Like, she took a couple years to do the field hockey and, mm-hmm. and she'll go back to it. But she wanted to go back to play soccer with her cousin. Great. So now she hasn't played in a couple years, and we really haven't gone over the rules or how to play at home. So now we're at soccer practice. It's the first soccer practice, and she's on the field, and she doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
She has no clue. She's running in the wrong direction. She's got her back to the ball. She's retreating to the goal. She's not going out. Everything is wrong. And they have like these hired coaches to kind of help them during the practices. It's parents on the weekends during the games, but these hired coaches during the week at the practice.
Okay.
So they're not doing anything. They're relatively young kids, you know, and they're just throwing the ball in. The kids kick it out. They throw another ball.
It's like a playtime.
Exactly. It's more supervision than it is learning how to play the game.
Right.
So I get on the field and I'm like, Dakota. I'm like, eyes on the ball, you know, and I was like, you don't turn your back. I'm like, hands behind your back. And
yeah, don't retreat to the goal. All those crazy things that you just said to me that mean nothing to me a minute
ago. But I'm trying to instruct her on what to do because she has no clue anymore.
Yeah.
And the head coach, who's a full-grown adult man.
Regular coach?
Yes.
Like a real coach.
Yeah, he's like the guy in charge of like running all the practices. He comes over to me and he's like, ma'am, we're going to need to get you off the field. And I was like.
You were on the field, too.
I didn't even realize it. I didn't. The passion took over.
Yeah.
And at the minute it happened, I'm like, this is humiliating. Every other parent is sitting in their car. they're in their car playing on their phones like normal people. What am I doing out in the rain in this practice right now trying to tell these kids what to do?
I mean, your daughter was still having fun, right?
Oh, yeah. She always has fun.
So, I mean, if she was still having fun, it could have certainly been worse. But, I mean, it isn't fair to say that this isn't the first time that's happened to you.
Well, and here's the problem is that I said I wasn't going to coach anymore. And the truth is that I really want to. And maybe not this year, but I need to. I don't have the time, but I miss it. And I miss being a part of it.
Sure.
So it's hard for me to step away from it. But I did realize that there's a line that has to be drawn. And I have to.
And you have to stay on the outside of the
field.
The
outside. So they had their first game this past weekend.
Yeah.
And I took laps around the field and I didn't say a word. And I purposely, it was like a time of self-control.
You ran around the field.
Yep. Not playing. I just went for a walk and I just kept an eye on the game, but I removed myself from the situation so I wouldn't feel the need that I had to say something or do something.
You truly are a crazy person. I mean, I'm glad you did that for everybody else's benefit. But wow.
I think that happens to other parents. Did the coach ever have to have a word with you? It's an embarrassing situation when the coach of your child's team has to have a word with you about something. You've clearly done something wrong.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, all kids understand what it is to be scolded, whether it's by somebody else's parent, the teacher, whatever. So when they see you being talked to by the coach, like, that's what it looks like because that's what it is.
Like, mommy got in trouble.
Right. Yeah. And then you went and hid in your car after.
All right. So when did the coach have to talk to you about something? 1-800-330-9999. Thea.
Okay, my coach had to have a word with me when I kept yelling through the game. Now, granted, I know I shouldn't have said the other team sucks, but that's what team playing is about, right? You got to smack talk.
Yeah, I mean, I think sucks is pretty tame. It's pretty benign. Wait, you know, I mean, unless they're 7.
How old are they? That's the question.
They're 16.
Oh, man, yeah, they definitely suck.
No, you can't you can't say
are
the
you
other
kidding
team
me?
Sucks.
Everybody knows that town sucks.
No, you can't say that.
Oh,
you
man,
can,
growing
you
up,
think it,
if
you
I was
think
at the
it.
Game, we're definitely telling the other team they suck. Definitely.
I mean, you could boo them and thumbs down.
That's the same thing.
You can't say you suck. You can't.
It's the same thing.
I disagree. I don't think it's the same thing.
Just the vision if you had been screaming in an 8-year-old's face. Yeah. That Now, then I probably would have been like, miss, because we have to temper this a little bit. But high school, oh, definitely. They need to be built for it.
All right, David, how about you? What did you do that your kid's coach had to have a word with you?
My kid's coach had to have a word with me when I kept telling him how to run his team. But I wouldn't have had to tell him how to run his team if he actually knew how to coach.
Yeah.
Like, the man can't coach. All right, I can coach his team better than he can. His decisions are terrible. That's why the team is terrible. I've given him some coaching tips. When I give them tips, they do a little bit better. So it's like, you should listen to me at pretty much all times. I'm helping you out for free. I could charge you.
Why don't you volunteer to actually be a coach, be an assistant coach, and work on the team?
I did, but he said I was too aggressive.
Well, this is all coming together.
Yeah. Well, at least you volunteered. I feel like this is like every parent. You know, it's got to be 80% of the parents that a coach is dealing with all the time, right? They all have advice. At least you actually offered and volunteered. You were told that you were crazy, but you know, other than that.
Alicia, when did your kid's coach have to have a word with you? Why?
He was cursing at our kids, and he was cursing at my kid personally. And so I yelled at him that he was using inappropriate language with the kids. He got upset for me because I kept yelling at him. And so he says to me, listen, you know, he had to get their attention or whatever. And I was like, well, you're going to have to find a more appropriate way to communicate with these kids, because yelling at them is not the answer. And cursing isn't either.
Well, I don't think you're in the wrong there.
No. Did you curse at him when you yelled at him?
Oh, no, I didn't curse at him, but I just, yeah, I kept yelling at him, you know, like, stop cursing at the kids. So I was making a scene because he was making a scene.
Right.
Sure.
But he didn't like that.
I'm sure he didn't. Some coaches, they're steadfast in their way, and they think that they can do no wrong.
And in some places, that's almost accurate.
Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Oh, mama.
Anna and Raven.
Some weeks are more challenging than others, and if you've had one heck of a week and you just need to vent, get it off your chest, let us know what you did this week to earn your margarita or whatever's going to fill your cup, a Pilates class or a walk in the woods.
Teresa, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
I am retiring.
Oh! Man!
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
When you say that to
people, thank you.
When you say that out loud, does every room that you're in, everybody respond excitingly, but yet at the same time, they're envious?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I talked to some coworkers today, and they're like, I'm so envious of you.
Yeah, I feel it's like standing next to somebody that just won the lottery, right? Like, you're excited for them. You're like, you know what? You're like, that means real people win. But at the same time, you're like, that means I lost.
Win the lottery? She worked her whole life for this moment.
No, I know, but it still feels magical to me.
Oh, you enjoy every second of it, Teresa. Congratulations.
What are you going to do first?
Thank you so much. I'm actually heading to Hawaii right after Easter.
Beautiful. Done.
Yep.
Perfect.
Have a great trip.
Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Layla, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
I saved $263 on groceries after couponing.
Oh, that's great. So, how do you do it?
Yeah, there's apps, and then you can also just Google coupon.
I know that they have those apps that give you certain percentages back. So my wife we're out like Saturday night, and she's like, this is weird. I just got a flash from my Ibotta app that says 37% back on groceries tonight at Price Chopper. And I was like, what? That seems crazy. I was like, well, it's got to be there tomorrow. She's like, it's never above 6%. Next day, 6%. I said, I guess I know what's happening now. Next time we get an update at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, we're going to the grocery store.
Well, right.
37%.
Everybody is so good at this stuff. I feel like I'm never good at it. And it's time consuming.
Yeah. And when the deals are that extreme, honestly, you can't even believe that you did it all when it's over. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done it a couple of times, just like you have done, Layla, where I'm... All in. I am online. I am printing. I am cutting. I am on the apps. I have a selection. I'm using the third-party things. And then afterwards, I'm exhausted. And I'm like, Well, I've saved $12 today.
You're like,
good
yep,
job, Anna.
I did that.
All right, Bethany, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Hey, guys. I served my ex with divorce papers.
Oh, wow.
Big one.
Wow.
I know. It was a little hard to find him. He was voiding the server, so I had to hire a PI, and they finally served him.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to do the same thing, and it took, like, weeks. It took weeks to track that person down. I mean, Anna, you never went through this, and hopefully you'll never have to go through this. Obviously not.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's so wonderful.
You might.
Knock on wood.
No, stop it.
Right.
But Bethany, not nice.
Yeah.
It's like a whole thing. Like, even if, you know, at that point, obviously, you've made your decision. But even up to that point, like, you hate. It still doesn't make you feel good. You still feel like you're failing or whatever. You're like sick to your stomach all the way right up until the court date. And then when that's over, woo!
It feels good.
Oh, my gosh. You feel like you're 15 again.
So what's your plan?
Oh, drink anything.
Okay.
Go out and drink anything. I mean, I will say not anything. I can't do top shelf. It's, you know, serving your ex and having to pay the server for all of the avoided attempts.
Right.
Kind of like the most terrible game of hide and seek that costs you money every time you don't find him.
Oh, don't worry about it. Everybody's going to buy your drinks.
Yeah.
You're at the divorce party.
Yes.
All
right. So right.
Well, Bethany, enjoy your natty light. We hope you have a great time.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Court is powered by NHTSA. Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies like lane keeping assistance come in. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/drivertech. Paid for by NHTSA. Nadine and Tristan. Nadine, what's going on?
My husband, Tristan, is telling me that we should put my mom in the backyard, even though I think we should keep her in the house because my mom is having health problems. And if something happens to her, we won't be able to hear her if she's out in the backyard in a tiny house.
Oh, in a tiny house. Oh. Okay.
Oh, you're just going to put her on a runner.
I was like, what? Okay.
Put her in a tent.
A tiny house. Okay.
Yeah, but the tiny house to me feels like a glorified doghouse. That's how I take it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is my mom, the one who raised me. I just can't.
All right, so just for my clarity's sake, is your mother currently already living with you guys, or this is a new situation that you have to deal with now?
New situation that we just found out about.
Okay, Tristan, what's your side of this?
I'm just thinking about it. Like, her mother needs her own space. You know, she hasn't had her kids living with her in I don't know how long. Plus, we need our space, too. Like, I don't want to lose my privacy. Privacy time is important between me and my wife.
Sure.
If her mother's in a tiny home, she'll have her own amenities. She'll have a restroom. It's not like it's a real doghouse anyway.
No, so, it's not.
I just figured,
you know, her mom would need her own space. Plus, it's plenty of room in the backyard.
You already have a tiny house in your backyard?
No, I'm going to build her one. It'll be customized for her mom.
There's so many companies that are popping up that are putting these on prop. They're so cool.
I
love it.
I mean, specifically, I know that in my area, they have recently changed the regulations to make this so that it's legal. You don't have to pull any permits or anything like that. You do have to notify the town because there's like an electrical hookup with it. But it's specifically for this reason, because so many people now, multiple generations, are going into the same home, the same property, like they've been doing in Europe for, you know, hundreds of years. Over here, we're having to do it now. It's like an in-law apartment over your garage or whatever. And a lot of people used to look for those, seek those out, because they got to put up mom or dad. They want their own door. They want their own bathrooms. They want their own kitchen. They want the ability to do things, yet you need them to be close.
But Nadine, is that something your mom wants? And does Tristan even know how to build a house?
Right. Fair questions.
Well, my mom doesn't really know what she wants right now because she's so sick. Mm. It's up to me to make the decision. And I could see if my mom was well, but she's not. It's just not smart.
I mean, are you going to be staying home as a caregiver, or are you going to be, you know, continuing with your work or whatever? I'm all in your business, but...
Well, I'm going to continue working, but we'll have a nurse come take care of her in the daytime, and then I'll come take care of her at night.
You know, with that caregiver coming over, I don't want anything of mine coming up missing.
Nadine, your mother is going to get better, or reasonably so?
No.
Okay.
She's only going to get worse.
Okay. Well, then... Okay.
So what do you think? Building a tiny house in your backyard for your in-laws, are you a fan of it? Have you done it successfully?
Mm.
Or are you with Nadine that if family is going to come live with you, they should be living with you under your own roof? If your mom had to move in with you because she had gotten to the age where she needed assistance all the time, would you put her in a tiny house in the backyard, or would you let her live under your same roof?
I mean, it's a big thing that people are doing right now. Nadine and Tristan having this disagreement because Nadine's mother is in that exact situation. It's time for her to move in with them. And Nadine says, even though I'm still going to work, there'll be a nurse coming. And I want her close to make sure that she's okay. But Tristan says, we got to have our space.
Well, right. He's like, why does she have to be in the next room to us, the next bedroom? Why can't she just be in a little tiny house in the backyard? We've been saying that I wanted to build one forever. This is the perfect opportunity to do it, and we can cater it for her.
Right.
What do you think? Richard, whose side are you on?
I got to be on his side here because I think, you know, look at it long term. So God forbid anything happens to the mother-in-law. Now you got another apartment in the backyard anyway, so that's only going to increase your property value. And then he's got a place where he can go and hang out without the wife, too. So it really makes a lot of sense on a lot of different levels. And it's not like she's going far away. She's going to be right there. They can keep an eye on her. They don't need to move her into the house and have her encroaching on their space.
This guy just wants himself a mini house so he can take it wherever he goes.
He's like, then it'll be a man cave. To put your mom in the backyard or not. That's what's happening with Nadine and Tristan. Nadine's mom has to move in. She's reached the point where she needs care around the clock. And Nadine doesn't understand why she can't just live in the bedroom that's right next to their bedroom. Mm. But her husband, Tristan, has a whole nother plan.
Yeah, Tristan says, listen, this is a perfect opportunity for us to put a tiny home in the backyard. I will build her something that's built for her, that has the things that she likes and she needs. Then she'll have her privacy, we'll have her privacy, and we'll be right here if she needs anything whatsoever.
What do you think? Nick, whose side are you on?
Absolutely the husband's. I mean, assuming they have the money to build a little house, not only would it be good for them, but it would also be great for her mother because it'll still give her a sense that she's, you know, independent as well, as opposed to feeling like she's relying on having to live under the same roof as her daughter. Yeah. So I'm definitely on the husband's side.
You know, Nick, if I'm moving into somebody's house, I'm thinking the exact same thing, right? Like, I want my own space, but I still want to vacuum my space, do my little things that I can handle, right? I don't want to feel like they're taking care of everything for me. They just feel like a lump on a log.
I think it depends on how the shape of her mother.
Well,
that, yeah.
Right.
Thank you, Nick.
Deborah, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
The wife. The mother is bedridden and she needs a nurse. Then they need to see her continually. I mean, they could put a monitor in the little house, but it's not quite the same. Because I had the experience with my father. So if she is that bad and spiraling down, stay in the house. If she's up and around, okay, the little house.
Hey, Tom, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
I'm kind of like in between the middle, to be honest with you. I'm going through the same exact thing right now. My wife is sleeping at my mother-in-law's house. My brother's sleeping there. They have some nights. I wanted them to just put an extension on our house, a big bedroom, big bathroom. And now she's living with us. She can eat dinner with us because she's to the point where she basically needs help doing everything.
Yeah.
So, and now she's with you, but yet you will have your privacy. She'll have her privacy. She'll be off on the back of the house.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tristan, our audience agreed with you. If you think that you can create this tiny house or purchase this tiny house and be able to get it where it's fully functional and a great place for your mother-in-law, then yeah, it's kind of the best of both worlds, having your mother-in-law close, but giving yourself a little bit of separation and space.
I'm going to have this thing all the way with all of the amenities for this lady. I'm telling you, like, happy man has the plan, and that's what I got. I got a good plan for her.
Nadine, I mean, just help Tristan with some of the planning with this. Between, you know, Ring or whatever, different, you know, in-home cameras, and they have intercom functions on those as well. Like, I mean, it's like she's right there in the room with you. Should you be concerned if there's any issues, you know? And, you know, I'm sure, despite what her current condition might be, that there's probably moments where she relishes her privacy as well, so.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's just going to be really hard for me to deal with, but I'll just make it work as best as I can.
Well, you can go out there and sleep with her. Out there. You could sleep over. Outside in the yard, as you put it. Good luck, guys.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$1,300 is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Jermetria, are you ready to play today?
I am ready to play. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Nervous, but
oh, yes. I would love to give you this cash today. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck.
$1,300. Thank you.
All right. Raven's walking out of here. He's going to take his slow time to walk out. That door closed. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. Jermetria, I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's take home a win today. Number one, Morgan Wallen just broke a record that Taylor Swift had. He now has the most top 10s on the Billboard Hot 100 from an album prior to its release. His new album comes out in May. What's it called?
Oh, dang, I don't know that one.
Okay. Number two, a study says that having a pet makes you as happy as having an extra $90,000 a year. Speaking of famous pets, what's the name of Sabrina the Teenage Witch's cat?
Salem.
Number three, Jelly Roll just received the Global Literacy Award at the 2025 World Literacy Summit. He was given this prestigious award in recognition of his global influence on literacy. Jelly Roll said in an interview that he reads Tuesdays with Maury every single year. Who wrote that book?
Jeez, I don't know that one.
It's That's okay. Number four, the newest trend in the gaming is competitive Balatro Solitaire, which is competitive solitaire. How many cards are there in a standard deck of cards?
52.
Number five, Coachella kicks off today. The artist that just released her new album, Mayhem, is set to perform tonight. Who's that?
Mayhem. Oh, jeez. Is it Gaga?
Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Demetria.
Not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do.
Yeah.
All right, number one, Morgan Wallen just broke a record Taylor Swift held. He now has the most top tens on the Billboard Hot 100 from an album prior to its release.
Yeah.
Now, his new album comes out in May. What's it called?
I'm the problem. Yep.
I'm the problem.
He might be right.
Mm-hmm. Number two, if it's a gimmick playing the bad boy, it's working for him. It really is.
You know what? I just think the thing is like, he's a regular dude who ended up really famous. And I don't know. Like, you know, whatever. He's kind of a mess, but he's also kind of brilliant.
Number two, a study says that having a pet makes you as happy as having an extra $90,000 a year.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that's pre-tax or not, but we'll see. Speaking of famous pets, what's the name of Sabrina the Teenage Witch's cat?
I have no idea.
Salem.
Okay.
Number three.
I'll remember that.
Number three, Jelly Roll just received the Global Literacy Award at the 2025 World Literacy Summit.
Love that guy.
Jelly Roll said in an interview that he reads Tuesdays with Maury every year. Who wrote that?
Stephen King?
No, Mitch Albom.
As a pseudonym as Stephen King.
All right, you're going to need these next two to tie. Otherwise, Demetria is going to win $1,300.
Let's go. It's Friday. Here we go.
Number four, the newest trend in gaming is competitive Balatro Solitaire.
Okay.
Balatro. It's basically competitive solitaire. You're trying to get points and beating other people playing solitaire.
Yep.
Which defeats the point of solitaire, but okay.
Okay.
How many cards are in a standard deck of cards?
52, not including the Jokers.
Correct. Number five, Coachella kicks off today. The artist that just released her new album, Mayhem, is set to perform tonight. Who's that?
Lady Gaga.
Yes.
I want to go to this tour so bad.
Demetria, you tied at three today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Good game.
Yep, thank you. My name is Demetria, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,400 Monday, Anna.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.